grateful heart.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween, double P. Perry had literally the most brilliant idea. Perry, walk us through your process of developing this episode.
Okay, so there's this podcast called Otherworld that I've been listening to. I highly recommend. It's so good. It's basically just like firsthand paranormal stories. This guy, Jack Wagner, who's like been online forever and ever, like kind of asks people. I think he has like some people who he knows in real life, and then has sort of like started putting out calls for submissions of like, tell us your paranormal story, like what happened to you in your life, what like strange experience have you had. And it's such a good podcast. So I wanted to do something like that in the Thrilled to Announce universe, and the first thing that came to mind was asking people about operatic paranormal stories, or like, you know, audition paranormal stories. So we put out an ask on our Instagram to ask people to send in paranormal stories that they've had, experiences. What did I say? Like cryptids in an audition room.
Yeah.
aliens at a yap.
Yeah.
And we got a bunch of really fun submissions, and we kind of wanted to like talk through them today, read the stories. We got a couple of audio submissions, just kind of like go back and forth and like share in the Halloween spirit.
We love the holidays.
Happy
holidays.
We're
a holiday themed podcast now. I think what's really cool about this too is Perry and I got to thinking about sort of our own experiences, paranormal or otherwise, at Yaps and in the opera world. And so, I don't know, we're just going to like talk about that for a sec and sort of what this brought up for us, and then go through the stories.
Yeah, I haven't really ever had like any paranormal experiences that I can think of. But the first thing that came to mind when I was thinking about like yaps and shit like that is one of my dear friends, actually Paxton, who has been on this podcast, read my tarot at Teatro Nuovo in 2018. And it was such an accurate and scary, not scary, it was like upsetting because I was like, I was not in a great place at the time. And so she read my tarot and she was like, yeah, you're not in a great place. And I was like, you're
like,
so
don't tell me that.
And it just felt like so precise and cutting. And it really got me thinking that the opera world, Yaps in particular, the veil is really thin. Like, I feel like the connections happen so fast. Like, with Paxton and with you, Charlotte, like, you know, we kind of make these immediate connections. And it's sort of summer camp energy, but it's also sort of like you see through something.
It's something bigger. Yes.
Yeah. People are very open. You're reading people. You just feel connected in this really wild way.
Yeah.
And that tarot definitely like spoke to that.
Yeah. When you mentioned the tarot, it made me think about this for the past few days as well, of why it is that these programs conjure so many synchronicities and also paranormal experiences, but also just synchronicities and things that you wouldn't expect to happen that are so, like you're saying, precise and cutting, and also these like immediate connections. And so I was thinking about like liminal spaces and like liminality and how these opera programs, it's, you're in this weird place, right, where like you're not at home, but you're not on vacation, but it's not purely work because you're still in like Miami or like Italy. You know what I mean? You're like, what? So it's like this combination of all these different like environments, ultimately all these different personas, because you're sort of your vacation self. You brought like your cute outfits, but you're also in work mode, but you're also, and you're settling in for sometimes more than a month. So it's sort of your temporary home. It's not like, oh, I'm in a hotel for 5 days. It's like, I kind of live here for a second. Like, that's where I get my coffee. You know what I mean? Like,
and so, people are like so weird and horny too. There's
so
like
weird
a lot
and horny.
Of, like, sexual energy.
Like the erotic nature of it all, like really skyrockets. So it's crazy because I feel like, you know, going back to the performer and observer thing we like to talk about, I feel like it's one of the few times where you're really the observer of yourself because you're outside of your typical avatars and you're like, well, who am I in Italy for the months of July and August in this random year of my life? Like, what are we talking about? You know what I mean? So I feel like because of like how far you are from your typical, like, I am this character and this is what I play every day when I'm at home, you kind of like that makes the veil thin. You know what I mean? You're like, okay, like, who am I here? Like, I don't even, like, what am I, you know, what are my goals while I'm here? Like, who are these people I'm connecting with? What do I want to show them about myself? And, like, who do I connect with while I'm here? And it just makes you, like, question so much of your identity. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? So then it's like the veil is so thin because you're, like, in between worlds. You know what I mean?
And you're straddling, like, you're kind of networking, sort of, but you're also just, like, making friends.
Yeah.
Like, where is that line?
Yes.
This very amorphous style of talking to people and like who are your peers, who are your authority figures, and also like going through this industry over the past like decade or whatever, you feel those relationships shift and change. Like, there are people who are in authority now who are your peers before, and it's like this like fluctuating hierarchy,
constantly
reevaluating like who is where in your life, and it changes from gig to gig and show to show, and
just the idea of being a young artist, it's like you're in your like late 20s but you're like a young artist student baby at this program, but it's like you're literally an adult and you're like straddling that two different identities as well. It's just really, or like you're still in school but you're like getting your doctorate and you're like very much an adult but you're still like a student. There's just all of these personas like clashing, and I just feel like it leads to this place of like, okay, here we are at this young artist program, like what are we doing now? And it's just like the veil is thin, you know, on so many levels.
Is so vulnerable in a lot of ways.
Yes So I was thinking about that. So I was thinking about how you and I met and how I've met really important people at these programs. And it's just people I can't imagine not knowing, and how quickly that like synced up and how interesting that is.
Totally.
Because like what background did we have for each other? You know what I mean? Like very
minimal.
You just
like, I literally saw Charlotte. We were sitting in the auditorium and I was like, I gotta sit next to that girl. You were wearing a long blue skirt.
I was obsessed with that skirt that year. That was my like Miami summer skirt. I was like, I'm a flowy skirt girl this summer. Like literally, like I packed for that.
And then like, here we are.
Literally.
Building an empire.
Absolute. Absolute. An internet small business. Your local internet small business. So this is not paranormal, but this is as close as I got, is that I have made so many significant life decisions. And like next steps in my life type of decisions at young artist programs, like so many, like ones regarding like schools I'm going to go to, places I'm going to move, and like what I want to apply for, or like things with my family that were really complicated, all went down at summer programs. All of them. And I feel like it was also because the veil was so thin and I was so like avatarless, and it was just like, who am I? I'm in this random new place. Like, what do I want? And I could like hear that so much more clearly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I met Chris at
Holy shit.
Teatro Nuovo.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's insane. It's just like
boyfriend alert.
Yeah, boyfriend alert. I feel like we're like an antenna, you know, at these programs. Like, you literally are this like antenna, like pulling in what you want. Like, you're so much like closer and connected to the other side, like whatever the invisible has to offer, like you're so much more receptive to.
Yeah, it's such a unique position to be in, because I feel like everyone feels that at like whatever summer camp, as I said earlier, but it's not something that you necessarily experience as an adult,
right? To when like you have big decisions to make.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Anyway, yeah.
Okay, so we wanted to do you want to read this first story?
Yeah, sure.
I think it's one of my favorites. We wanted to like go through some of the stories that everyone sent in and chit chat about them.
Yeah, now we're young artist program proponents. Now we love Yavs because we've realized
everyone
all of this.
Go to a pay to sing.
Yeah,
we're gonna start being sponsored. Sponsored by Miami Music Festival.
Best thing I ever did. I mean, I met Perry
and it was fun to be in Miami.
I was staying in South Beach. Like, what am I gonna do, fucking complain? I mean, it's like I am. Like, that program was psychotic. But, like, still, like, life is about duality, girly pops, you know?
Yes, and.
Yes, and. MMF. Okay, so this first story, now we're going into actual paranormal and not just, like, us casting spells. and meeting boyfriends, which like we love to do.
nothing better than meeting a boyfriend.
Nothing better. So our first story today is a haunted homestay story. Okay, here we go. When my colleagues and I moved into our Yap house, it had just been given to the company. The woman who left it to them was the longest serving flute player in the orchestra. By all accounts, a really excellent and generous human. Because it was a bit of a last minute surprise, the company had spent a couple months fixing the house up, like an 1880s duplex type of house. But there was a ton of stuff they left in cabinets and drawers that seemed to be untouched from the time she died. One such item was in the upstairs kitchen. It was a toy cradle from God knows when, maybe the 1920s, and inside the cradle was a collection of very old dolls, a car, and a little old-timey chalkboard kids used to bring to school. I felt pretty creeped out by it, especially because it was randomly in the kitchen. I know I shouldn't have done this, but storage space was tight in there, and we needed room in the cabinets for our food, so I moved the cradle into a closet in the nearby hall. Massive mistake. The next few days, the house started to fall apart. First, the upstairs bathroom started leaking through the ceiling and the lighting fixture in the downstairs kitchen. It was like a mini waterfall. I was worried the upstairs bathtub would fall into the first floor. Then the oven caught fire because the repair people were using it for storage for cutting boards. My colleague had turned it on, thinking it was empty, and we only realized it was happening when plasticky smoke started coming through the oven door. While I was driving to Walmart to get a box fan to get the smoke out of the house, it hit me that I might have angered the dolls by moving them. As soon as we solved the smoke situation, we all went upstairs to gently move the cradle back into the kitchen. We all apologized to the dolls, and it was mostly smooth sailing for the rest of the year. This summer, the company did more renovations on the house and completely removed the upstairs kitchen. I have no idea where they put the cradle of dolls. I am low-key terrified something is going to happen now that they're gone. Good news is that the spirit of the woman who left this house is a really kind presence. Both she and her dad seem to like having us there. So maybe they put in a good word for us to the dolls.
Oh my god. I'm scared. We should add like spooky music.
I know.
While you're reading it.
Should add that like TikTok totally sound.
Yeah.
Like,
the one I, yeah.
I loved when you use that. That's like classic TikTok.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's like viral video TikTok,
yes,
you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, did you know in ancient Egypt, like that kind of vibe, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or like the haunted lakes. Are you on haunted
lakes?
Oh,
I love
TikTok?
The haunted lakes. And it's like every year she finds new lakes. It's like, how many lakes?
How many
there?
Lakes could there be?
There's like so many. And they're all really crazy. Like,
scary.
Yeah. Lakes are like so scary. They're like so deep. Some of them, it's like incomprehensible. Love lake TikTok. Anyway. I love that, like, I'm not aware of how paranormally this person is in their day-to-day life, but that they have this respect for the invisible mm-hmm. world of like, let's put it back and apologize. Like, yeah. I just love that, like, most people on earth, regardless of their like belief system in a situation like that, I love when people are like, let's just do the thing that seems like what we're supposed to do. And
yeah,
they, like,
let's just be safe.
It. Let's just be safe.
Yeah. And also kind of trusting your intuition. Like, yes. This weird shit is happening. Like, the first thing you think of is the dolls. Like, huh, maybe. Like,
yeah.
If it's the first thing you think of, then maybe there's something going on underneath.
Right. Like,
don't
I love the like
happening
banalite of it. Like, I love the like quote. Like, it's like you don't like there's just like a mundane. It's like on the to do list, you know, like,
yeah,
it's not even
totally.
Like an incident emotionally. It's just like, OK, get home, like set up the fan, you know, like get the smoke out of the house, and then like let's put the dolls back and apologize to them. Like, I yeah. love that we still yeah. have that in us as like a people, you know, like.
This is also one of my favorite stories because it's written so well.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, what's happening next? And then they sent in like the next DM and I was like, oh.
I love that it's like, I don't know. And I love that there's that follow up. This is like such a classic ghost story narrative to be like, and to this day, like, we don't know where
totally.
They are now. You know what I mean? Like, so good.
They sent a picture of the dolls and we will ask if we can share it. And if we can share it, it's definitely going on the grid post for this
yeah.
episode.
Love. Oh my god, so fun. Okay, do you want to do the next story?
Okay, so this next one is an audio sent in. We're gonna play it now, about a bit of backstage paranormal drama.
Hey, so my opera ghost story happened at Cincinnati Music Hall, which was built over like a graveyard, and also, which also was a site of a like Civil War hospital and orphanage. So it's for sure haunted. They dig up skeletons every time they do renovations on this place. It's just absolutely haunted. Anyway, one time I was backstage during a production of Pirates of Penzance, of all things, and I'm in my pirate costume, and something comes up behind me and like sort of like shoves me on the shoulder. And I thought like, oh, you know, this is just like a silly little joke someone's playing because we're dressed as pirates. It's so goofy. And I looked, turn around, and there is just nobody there. Not a soul. And then I had to go on stage. But it was very creepy. So anyway, that's my opera ghost story.
Okay, talk about a thin fucking veil, right? Like, I'm now obsessed with this concept.
Like, no, yeah.
Being backstage, you're like in between two worlds.
Yes, dressed up as like your character, but you're in the wings.
Mm-hmm.
I also am so struck again by the like just like mundane, like it just happens and you keep going kind of vibe of like, well, time to go on stage, you know, like
I just make my entrance.
Turn around, nobody's there. Okay, time to go on stage. Like boom, boom, boom. Like life just keeps going, you know. I just love that. Like it almost makes less scary.
Yeah, I'm also obsessed with the history of this Cincinnati Music Hall. What is this person said? It's a
orphanage,
hospital,
Civil War.
What?
Like literally. Oh, that was my other theory, and this is like a perfect time to like. This is like it's bringing it up for me. I was also thinking like along these lines when you had this concept of doing like an otherworld adjacent type episode. I was like, what is more haunted than like opera culture? The buildings are old. The shows are old. There's been like so many people that have given their whole lives to this art form that of course their spirits are sticking around. Like all of these opera singers that like that was their whole thing. Like that, of course their spirits are like still wandering some of these halls. Like it's so like duh to me. And then in another way, just the fact that we like have yet to update so many things, including buildings, including the culture, including the shows. And you know what I mean? Like just we like are creating a haunted atmosphere just inherently, and, you know?
And like the specter of the composer haunts like every piece we do. It's like looking over our shoulder.
It's deadass Phantom of the Opera. Like literally.
Literally. And then also like going into an audition, doing an aria that another famous opera singer does all the time is also like a type of haunting, like you're being haunted.
Yeah, if I do like some ornaments that have been done like 1,000 times by a specific soprano that's like no longer alive, like I'm like conjuring her shit, like absolute, like how
and
would
just,
I not
like,
be
recordings are like a type of like access to the dead, communing with the dead. When I listen to recordings and copy their ornaments exactly, that's me communing with the dead.
Absolute. Oh my God, those recordings are such a conjuring. And when they're like so up close and you can hear just like everything and you're like, oh my God, I feel like I can feel how this, you know how you listen to singers and you have sympathetic feelings in your throat and you can just be like, oh, I can tell how they're doing that. Even when it's like better than how I know how to sing, I'm like, ooh, I can feel what that would feel like, and it would feel sick to have that note sound like that. You know what I mean? And I feel like that, it's like I'm literally listening and like feeling how it feels for them when
you're
they're
being
singing.
Possessed.
I'm being possessed. I'm somatically possessed. And I like want to be, you know what I mean? Like I put on my noise canceling headphones and I'll put on like Kala singing something and I'm like, yeah, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. I'm getting it. You know?
Totally.
Yeah. So I love that. And I just feel like every opera like building is probably haunted as F. We're just talking about like the oldest, like nobody in the tech world is being haunted. You know what I'm saying? Like nobody like that got like venture capital funding in the last 20 years is haunted. Their buildings aren't haunted. There's no legacy that's haunting. Like we're talking about opera. Like this shit is haunted as hell. Andrew Lloyd Webber got something right. Like
I'm
that
upset.
Actually was like a slay. Phantom of the Opera was like such a slay of a concept.
I
just love
it
this
so far.
Yeah, they really do. But it's like if I was like an annoying, what was he actually the Phantom when he was like alive? Was he like a?
I don't remember.
An organist? I don't fucking know. But I feel
an organist sounds right.
Or
isn't
like
there
a
like an organ
too?
Down there?
Yeah, and he like wanted to like teach voice, but I don't know if he actually. He's one of those coaches that wants to teach, but it's like. You know what I mean?
One of those collaborative pianists.
Yeah, he's a collab pianist. And I feel like why, like a collaborative pianist spends like 80 hours a week doing coachings. Of course, when he's dead, he's like, you here, come, let me.
Sing for me.
Yeah, like, duh, you know what I mean? Like, duh. Like, oh my God. I just love that, like, we just, you know, commune with these ghosts, conjure these spirits, conjure these shows, these composers in these old halls that so many people have walked through. Like,
I also love that this story in particular was Pirates of Penzance.
Like, I know, imagine, which is so, like funny.
Having a paranormal experience and like getting on stage and like doing patter, Gilbert and Sullivan patter.
Like the the difference of tone between like Gilbert and Sullivan and feeling a ghost grab your hand is fucking incredible. Like, there's no bigger tone shift.
Literally, like, duality. Like, that's Boehm. Yin yang. There's nothing that's else. Yin yang. You've like covered the entire gamut.
Yes. Oh my God. 100. Like, if it was like truly like a sat, like if it was like Tosca, and I'd be like, wow, the ghosts are with me. Like, and now I'm like gonna go jump to my death. Like, I'd be like, this is such a serve. And honestly, like, I love life. But that is just crazy. Like, that would like break my brain.
I'm obsessed.
Oh my God. I love everything. Like, I love everything. Okay, wait, let me think of which one to do next. Night before opening of La Voix Humaine, I dreamt about someone / something being on my couch when I went to grab the phone. I'm gonna pop in here and say, like, in La Voix Humaine, like, this person's on the phone, this character's on the phone a lot, and there's like usually very little on the set, and it's like a bed and a couch. They're like in their bedroom, like waiting for a call from this guy, basically. Okay. You know, it's like tortured girly pop on a Friday night, like waiting for a text from her guy, you know.
Love.
So there's very little on set, and I'm sure there's like a couch and the phone and like one other thing. Okay, so that's, so she dreamt about something / someone being on the couch when she goes to grab the phone in the show. The next morning, the first performance at a school, we set up. And then 7 to 8 minutes into the run, I felt like someone was in my way while I was trying to sit on the couch. Whatever it was knocked me off, so I moved to the chair. Since I'd never done that blocking, my director was going ham trying to get me to move. I continue the scene from the chair, then slam down the phone to end the call. The phone is completely removed from my hand and shatters on the tile floor. I did the entire rest of the opera holding the shards of the broken porcelain phone in my hands. I told my director later I felt like I was shoved off the couch, and he told me he had a similar dream.
This, like, okay, this is the perfect one to read after our previous conversation and the previous submission, because it's so similar. Mm-hmm. And it's like a haunting, like, who originated the role? Oh, it's a one woman show,
some
right?
Baddie. Yeah, like, I totally forget, but I like studied this show for a while. I like coached it. So,
like, it was her.
It was like literally her. And it's like this badass playwright who like did some cool shit at the time, who like did the libretto. It was like just a bunch of cool kids, like the coolest cool kids, like put this shit together. It's like carrot, like Camille de Blas, you know, like some, I don't know. Can you see it?
I'm seeing the last name. Hang on. I'm on the Wikipedia. Denise Duval.
Denise Duval. Yeah, and it's like
she died in 2016. When did this story happen? Oh my God, what if it happened in 2016?
Stop. Oh my God. I am so curious. We have to ask this person.
Wow, she sang a lot. She sang the role of Blanche a lot in Carmelites.
That makes sense.
Therese in Mamal's Satire Sauce, which I'm sure I'm butchering, but that's the one that has that crazy aria.
Yeah, it's like kooky crazy. Like, yeah, which is so like Poulenc, like, you know, just that kind of like French, like whimsy, kooky stuff, which like I love, you know.
I'm sure she would love to haunt anyone who does it. Oh, and it's like a one-woman show, so it's like a very intimate haunting.
Yes, that's the other thing, right? It's like, this goes back to that Phantom of the Opera point of like, when someone does something so much in their life, of course their presence is still with it. Mm-hmm, which is like, that's why like Elvis is going to be like haunting everybody forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's Elvis. He's like the persona and he's his own person. And like, that feels like some opera people, it's like that too. Like, where's Pavarotti hanging out? You know what I mean? Like, he's such an entity in and of himself. And that feels like that with this, because it's like a one woman show. I'm sure she was like so well known for doing it, and like everyone thinks about her when they do it. Like, when you start to do that role, you're like, who originated it, or their record, you know, like you get into it, so everyone like thinks about her in that context. Like, duh, she's gonna like fuck with people's shit. Like, I would
Yeah.
You know, shit. hanging out in the astral, like, oh, this person's going to do this show. That's not where you should sit. You should sit on the chair. So I'm going to be on the couch. Obsessed. Literally, she's blocking it from the astral. Like, she's blocking the show. She's like staging it. She's like, I don't like this phone, so I'm going to break it. You need a new prop. Like,
I hate this porcelain phone. So here's another little submission about a strange dream and a starter aria.
Hey, my name is Geneva. I'm a non-binary mezzo-soprano from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Yeah, that's a place. Anyway, I had a really cool, vivid kind of dream slash vision. I don't know. I'm not Hildegard from Bingen. I'm just a person who likes to garden. Anyway, I had this really cool dream, let's call it, where my great-grandfather, his name was Emil Hack, was a bass baritone with the Leipzig Opera just before the Second World War. He was drafted and he then died fighting. He came to me in this dream and he told me what aria I should sing for an audition that I had the next day. It wasn't an aria that I had on my top five. It wasn't even an audition aria that I normally use. And he said, if you sing that aria, you'll get into the company. And the next morning I remembered this, of course, and thought, oh, the heck with it, I got nothing to lose. So I prepped the aria. I knew it a lot better than I thought I did. And I went and did it in the audition. And 2 months later, I found out I got into the company. So thank you to my great-grandfather who came to me in a vision. I don't know how many people can say that. It was really strange. Anyway, I don't know if you can take anything from that, but I think it's pretty darn cool. In case you're wondering, the aria was Da geh ich zu Maxim from Die lustige Witwe. Anyway, thanks.
Oh my God, I did not finish listening to that audio before we started recording, so this is my first time hearing this too.
We were both just looking at each other and our eyes were popping out more and more that whole time.
I wonder if their grandfather was German.
Yeah.
Like, did,
when did
that
show come out?
Oh, I don't even know.
Die lustige
I don't even know what that show is.
Wait, I do because I think I know it's Lehar. I think there's that like soprano aria that like Renee Fleming. It's Mary Widow.
I'm stupid.
No, you're literally not at all. I had to like really think about that. When did that come out? Wait, okay. I'm freaking out. I'm obsessed with this story. Okay, it premiered in 1905. So if he fought in World War II, I literally just Googled.
He was definitely
World War
alive.
II. Started in 1939.
Okay, so he definitely was like around in 1905.
Unless, like, don't you fight in wars when you're like 22 or some shit? You know what I
that's
mean?
That's true. Like, that's true.
I feel like everyone's like old at 30 and back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe though. But maybe it was like, you know, doing well. Like, it was like going up every year, even, you know, like after the premiere. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Like, it peaked in popularity.
Yeah. Like, when did it peak? Oh my God. I'm so fascinated. Anyway, it existed. It fully existed at that time. And so mm-hmm. It was probably being done because I think, you know, it was operetta-y. Like, people really enjoyed it. Like, I'm sure it was going up. So he probably saw it. That is amazing.
I also really applaud. Like, if I had a dream that told me that I was supposed to sing an aria that isn't on my top five, I'd be like, go fuck yourself. Yeah. I'm singing an aria that's on my top five. I'm singing one of two arias.
Yeah. Like, I'm so impressed by that.
Yeah, I'm obsessed.
I love that people like give in to these things when they happen to them. Like, there's something nice about that. It shows that it's just a part of the human experience, these crazy mysteries, you know?
I also wonder if we're getting some selection bias because like the people who like we are in a community with who would then also want to tell us these stories are people who are kind of more like open, accepting, willing to kind of just like lean into whatever's going on.
Experimenting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is like I'm talking cool. about sexuality. Like, we all really like to experiment here at TTA, but like, really, we're like, you know, like, we're really like, maybe life is this, maybe it's this, like, maybe this happens, maybe that happens. Like, we're all very much like that.
It's just so interesting how there's like this strong through line of people being like, well,
yeah, anyway, like, it's just a part of life. Like, I love that. You're so right. Like, the bias of it is like really interesting to think about.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even thinking about it that way. I was just like, this kind of happens to everyone. But it's like, yes and no. I would say the Other World podcast has kind of affirmed that for me, because a lot of people come on, and almost most people that Jack Wagner interviews are like, I'm just like a dude who like, you know, drinks Red Bull and like lives in like, you know, like literally they're just like, I live in the Midwest and I don't.
Like, I was on my four wheeler and then I had this strange experience.
Yeah. And then like a cryptid was in front of me, like literally. Yeah. So it's like, there is this thing of like, I feel like most people have brushes with the invisible in their lifetime. And I really love how a lot of people don't go on to like make it like a hobby or like a special interest, but it's just like, well, gotta go to work tomorrow, like, well, gotta go on stage,
can't explain that. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I just love that. I think that's so special, like actual mysteries, you know what I mean? And just living with them. Anyway, that's so cool. I'm so impressed that person just was like, let's go, let's sing this shit. Also,
and congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Holy shit, I hope I have a dream that gets me into a program. What the hell, where's my great-grandfather? Like, I need
hello.
I have a great-grandfather who's Italian who loved opera. Like, shout out, like, you know, hey,
give me a call.
give me a call, give me a shout, call me, beat me.
What if you got, it would be so funny if you had a dream that was like, Charlotte, you have to sing Quando Men Fo,
and be like, no problem. It's like the one aria I still have memorized. I'm literally going to figure out like Merry Widow popularity over time. Like, I'm, as soon as we're done recording.
It's your dissertation.
Yeah. Now I'm like obsessed. I'm like, this dude definitely saw that show and like remembers it fondly and like wanted to watch his like great grandchild like sing it, you know?
Okay. So we don't have time to play all of the ones, all of the amazing submissions that we got. But we did want to point out that there were a couple of more stories about people feeling hand squeezes or being touched somehow, like on the shoulder before going on stage or after going on stage. I thought that was really cool. We did also get a couple of really beautiful stories about loved ones who had passed, who like kind of communicated with people through song or like through a particular song. And those are really beautiful.
Someone claimed AVA was haunted, which again, I totally believe. What an old building.
Absolutely.
Full of big personalities.
Someone responded to our DM saying, Central City is haunted as fuck. I have more than one story about my housing situation when I was there in 1765, which I didn't read properly the first time. And I was like, send us a story. And then I was like, oh, we're doing.
Yeah. And then someone said
something. Sorry for not picking up on the bit. When you were doing a bit with me.
I know. Perry's like Bit City USA too. Like, you are so good at a bit. So that's why I like that.
Sometimes I switch it off. For TTA things, I switch it off. And I'm like, it's like Sincerity Central.
Yeah. No, totally. It's so funny.
Then we got a bunch of people send in stuff about like, I'm haunted by, you know, XYZ in the industry. And the funniest one I thought that was sent in, this person said, the ghouls of this industry haunting me and torturing me every day of my life.
Which, like, meta, like, so true. Like, the levels of like ghostdom and the levels of hauntdom in this industry are literal, like, they're metaphysical, they're, you know,
the type of auditory visions I get before trying to make a fucking recording, you know, all these words in my head, helpful comments,
the haunting of singers past, copying the ornament, like, literally, this is just a haunted realm that we abide, like, that we, you know, live in. And I love that for us. And I had never really thought about how otherworldly, like, I was thinking about all of the like homestay ones. I was thinking about like all the homestays I've done and how random they are. Like, when I was at Opera Neo, I stayed at this random house like up in the mountains of San Diego, like not, you know, near the beach, but like up in the hills, I guess, whatever. Like, what makes a hill a mountain? I don't know, but like up high up, you know? And it's just like this random house in this random suburb that was like full of like VHS tapes. And it was like, okay, like, who is housing opera singers in the 2020s? You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it's like totally. So wild. Like, just the whole thing is so otherworldly in nature. Like, it's just such a strange world that we inhabit, and it really just takes all these random people that have this niche interest and we all just come together. Mm-hmm. It's like, of course all this shit is haunted. Like, what a strange little culture that we're all a part of, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Like, every homestay is just, like, of course they're bizarro, you know?
Yeah, we got a couple other good homestay ones as well.
Yeah.
So shout out to everyone being haunted by their homestays.
It just makes, like, kind so of the much sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And yeah, it's like you're stressed and you're like trying to like figure out how to integrate into like someone else's world and also like sing well.
And like a weird deal with city. A ghost. Yeah. And there's like a ghost like effing with everything. It's just so opera world.
Okay, so here's a story about a ghost cat getting involved in some practicing.
Hello, I'm here with my very real and very talkative, opinionated cat, Sokka. Say hi, Sokka. Hello. But yes, so I have a ghost cat in my apartment, and usually she is a joy to live with. I personally believe that she is a Siamese. Do I have any real proof of that? No. But every so often, I swear I'll hear, like, a cat running across the floor, like, getting zoomies, and I'll call out for Sokka, my cat, and he'll be in, like, the absolute wrong spot. So anyway, I think she's here. That being said, she does hate it when I practice. My piano is kind of, like, in my little entryway slash kitchen weird area. And the other thing that is in that area is my shelf that is my, like, pantry space. And she will just knock thing after thing off of my pantry. Anything that's kind of close to the edge, she'll knock off. I don't practice here often anyway, but once I practiced here for an hour and she knocked 5 things off the shelf. But yeah, I don't have a name for her. I would love input. But yeah, that's my spooky singing story.
Oh my god, what is this cat's name?
Everybody write in with this cat's name. What is on your mind? What is the cat telling you it wants to be named? I am
a Siamese
so
ghost
this.
Cat who doesn't like practicing.
Singing. Yeah, doesn't like loud sounds. I've definitely experienced many pets kind of like shy away. I mean, their ears are so teensy, even mm-hmm. their ghost ears, you know, they're so yeah. teensy. So it's probably like a lot of decibels, you know.
Yeah.
That is so wild. I love this.
I love that cat.
That's so cute. I wonder, I mean, I feel like cats, like alive cats, can really like, I mean, talk about a thin veil, right? Like, I feel like cats know it all. They see
definitely.
It all.
Definitely. Like in Coraline.
Right.
You're like, yeah.
Like cats always, I feel like their eyes are huge. Like whenever Pom has huge eyes and she's staring off, I'm like, all right, who's, hello? Like, great. You know, like I'm just used to it at this point. And I feel like your cat, Grace, like definitely like hangs out with this cat. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure they're like buddies. Like, it's basically like your cat has another cat in the house with it. Like,
yeah, that's really nice.
I know. Isn't that kind of cute?
Good for Saku. Yeah.
Yeah. I bet they're like buddies, low-key. That is so wild. I'm obsessed. That is so cutie.
Okay, and to pair with that, I thought these two would be two good like ending episode or ending submissions. We had someone send in their mother's ghost novel that's about opera and about cooking. So I wanted to, this is now SponCon, we're getting nothing for this, but everyone buy this novel. It's called The Last Aria, a cooking novel. It was published in 2009, and I would love to read the blurb. Oh, wait. Okay. One man's obsession is another man's dream. Two men are held captive by the beautiful Lily LeClaire, the artist Garrett by her presence in the ancient oil portraits that hang in a pre-Civil War bed and breakfast, and William by her haunting voice as she sings to him in his sleep. Night after night, she speaks to William through arias from Tosca, Julius Caesar, and Madame Butterfly, trying to convey her urgent message. From the author of Talking Pictures, a cooking novella, Chef Elizabeth Pote, oh, I should, maybe we should leave out. Oh, you can find out who this person is.
Yeah.
This author spins another wonderful tale filled with excellent recipes, beautiful music, adventure, and of course, a touch of the supernatural. This is like everything we wanted.
I know,
like,
that's amazing.
When this person sent it in, I was like, oh my God, like, get your mom on the phone right now. Yeah. Like, can she come on the pod?
She's seen some shit. Like, she has had some paranormal experiences for sure.
Absolutely. And she, all in all, great reviews.
Oh my God, amazing.
1 4-star, rest 5-star. A great read, a delicious read, a charming foodie mystery.
I love the fact that, like, you're reading this book and then there's, like, a recipe to make, question mark, like, in the middle.
I don't quite know how that works.
That's so fascinating. But it's like an interactive experience. Yeah.
We can relaunch our book club and oh my God, we should literally relaunch our book club
and read this for this 100.
We're definitely going to put the cover art in the grid post because absolutely. The cover art is really, really good.
Oh my God. I wish I had something much. Like urgent to an urgent message to portray through Puccini.
I know, through
like
Puccini.
That sounds really nice. Like, I wish I had that.
Like, I have that, but I can't sing the Tosca arias, so I'm like haunting someone and like kind of missing the high notes.
Or like my urgent message is like, let me into this yap in like 2019. Like, she's urgently trying to share this.
I have to get into Chautauqua, please.
Through Quantum and Vo, she's urgently trying to send this message. Like, literally to the other side of the audition panel in Shetler.
Oh my God, haunting Shetler, haunting Opera America.
Shetler. Wait, because Shetler
haunting
doesn't
Ripley
exist.
Greer.
Ripley Greer. Which okay. one doesn't exist?
Shetler doesn't technically exist anymore, but I have auditioned there.
Yeah, it's still
in
like
the past
studios.
Years. I'm like, just, it's like, studios. It's I had a coaching there. Yeah, it's just not called Shetler anymore.
That place will be haunted for like centuries.
Truly. Can you imagine all the people who currently haunt it? It'll just be, you know, every 10 years, more and more people.
Yeah. Like, who, like, I wonder, that's another question, is like some of the older rehearsal spaces in New York that are mm-hmm. still rehearsal spaces, but were also spaces in like the 60s. Like, that's what I want to know.
Yeah.
You know? I bet we'd be like really shocked by like who's been in some of the rooms at Shetler. You know what I mean?
I like don't even want to know.
I know. Ah, it makes like the stakes too high. I like that it's like decrepit, you know? I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like you can hear sirens. You literally can't record in there because it's just Siren City.
And everyone hears everything you sing. It's like, that's like my nightmare bathroom scenario is when like you can just like hear mm-hmm. everyone peeing. Mm-hmm. Literally mm-hmm. Shetler's
like every
like, you
tiny
can hear
little
everyone, like pee every aria.
Every drip.
And they like their heels clicking out and then the door opens. It's just like, oh my God, can I have any privacy in this world? Like, it's devastating, dude. Anyway, yeah, that was sick.
This
I
is
really
so fun.
Yeah, dude, that woman, what, like, she has a vision.
We should do it for a book club. We should all read the last aria.
And I like want to cook the little recipes. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's like, and then he ate his dinner, but then like you can make the dinner and then like eat it, you know?
That's
like,
so that's cool.
It's so sick.
Well, literally, thank you all so much for listening and also for sending in these stories. This has been an absolute blast. I like want to make this the whole pod, but then we would just be plagiarizing other worlds, so we can't.
Yes, we'd get a cease and desist from Jack Wagner. But in the meantime, this was so much fun. I love how like everybody in all walks of life, or at least everyone who sent in a story.
All so, walks like, of life.
To our podcast has had these experiences, and it's just like, you know, what can you keep going, and life is just full of the invisible communicating with us, and we just mm-hmm. keep on keeping on.
Yeah,
and it's just so, honestly, it's so cute and it's so sweet, and I love it. Thanks for sending it in, everybody.
Yay!
These are so
oh my God.
Fun.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah,
hope you have a good Halloween. Weekend.
The veil is so thin right now during this season.
It's so thin.
Enjoy.
Imagine being at a yap. Oh my God, I have a friend at Opera on the James is happening right now. I wonder if like it's so haunted.
Wait, that's so real. Like winter yap hauntings. Because
I've
only
Sarasota.
Done like, sexy summers, you know?
Yeah.
Like in Miami in like 90 degree heat. Like what the hell is down there, you know? Just like
the
me and my little
melting.
Thoughts.
Yeah. They're getting literally. Mold poisoning.
It's like 80s dude ghosts. Imagine like 80s Miami dudes in white suits. Like
oh,
they're ghosts. But that's not creepy. That's like fun. That's like a fun ghost.
Yeah.
Like Versace's ghost, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, lol. Okay, love you guys so much. Let us know
love
your
you.
Thoughts.
Yes.
Love you.
See you soon. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
warring Radva.
Ungrateful heart.
Non c'è ben sicuro.